underlined in yellow you want to fill in. Why do we worship? What does worship mean? Worship is an old Anglo-Saxon word. It means worth-ship, ascribing worth to someone or something. And the reason, one of the reasons we worship God, and there are many, is because He is so much more than us. Say, He is worthy. Who is worthy? God is worthy. When John the Baptist says of Jesus, he says, I must increase, he must increase, I must decrease. That is a great way to understand what worship is. Worship is the minimization of self and saying, you are everything, Lord. That is worship. And if you have a limited understanding of who God is, and this is one of the reasons why this past fall we've talked about who God is, His attributes, learning a little bit more about Him and His awesomeness. If you have a limited understanding, then you have a limited capacity to ascribe worth to Him. And I'm convinced that is why a lot of us do not worship, because we really don't understand who we're worshiping. And God wants you today to understand Him better. He wants you to know Him. All people worship something. You can fill in the blank there. For a lot of us, we worship ourselves. We may worship things. We may worship our families. Whatever you ascribe worth to, whatever the most important thing in your life is, that's what you worship. The question we've been wrestling with, and I think will be good for us this month, is we look at our assemblies, and we know that we should filter everything through the glory of God. We should ask ourselves, is this act of prayer glorifying and uplifting our Father? Is the Lord's Supper time? Is it exalting Jesus? Are we truly, honestly glorifying God here at Forest Mill? What can we do better? We don't need to be satisfied where we are, because there are things we can do in worship that absolutely quench the Spirit. And we'll talk about those next week. But there's also things that we can do to invite God's presence. And that's the one I really want to focus on. So today, let's talk about this. And let's all pray this prayer together. You ready? Are you awake? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Ready? Father, holy and awesome is Your name. We don't want to stay where we are. Help us to become the type of worshipers that You seek. In Jesus' name, amen. So why do we worship? It really boils down to this truth. Because He alone is worthy. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being. Everything that you see around, everything, God is the creator behind it. You're not an accident. You're not here at a particular moment in time, in a history of time, by accident. You have destiny. You have purpose in God's kingdom. And when your story gets aligned with God's story, then you can really live. Amen? But we worship because God is worthy. Have you ever stopped and considered all that God has done in your life? You do not take a breath without the permission of a creator. We don't take our next breath without His permission. He gives life and He gives breath. And I often think about, man, the fact that God has forgiven, He has offered us eternal. He's already done way too much, because none of us here possibly deserve that. But God doesn't stop there. He longs to bless and provide and take care of everything that we have. Who is worthy? God is worthy. And this is why the Lord tells Israel, he tells us, this is why we do the Lord's Supper every week. Don't forget what God has done for you already. Don't forget. We're so prone to doing that. We complain, we gripe, we take God for granted because we forget what he has done. And I firmly believe every person in this room, I think we all have moments where we all take God for granted. But have we forgotten just how lost we are without Jesus? Have you ever really considered what Jesus Christ did for you? This is why he is worthy of our worship. Why do we worship? Because you are worthy, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things by your will. They were created and have their being. Our purpose, our significance, everything in our life has to do with our relationship with God. Solomon is right, the richest man that's ever lived. He said, life is meaningless without God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he proves that. We have our being, we have our meaning in life because of God. So we worship because he's worthy. We worship, secondly, because of who he is. We read in Psalm 145 just a minute ago, one of my favorite psalms, beautiful psalm. I think everybody needs to read Psalm 145 to the Lord at least once a month. Read that psalm to him. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's rich in love. He's good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. He is so worthy because of who he is. It's not an issue of blessing. It's not an issue of what God has done for me. It's who he is. That's why he's worthy. I'm sorry. We don't worship God because of those things. We worship because of who our Creator is. So since God is worthy, my question I want to ask today, is our worship, is our assembly worthy of a king? Is it worthy of him? Because we will throw the spread out for if Queen Elizabeth were to walk in this, oh man, we would make sure she had everything that she needed. If any dignitary, any person of some clout would walk into this room, we would want to make, oh, you sit here, you know, make sure. But Jesus Christ is present here every week. Is he feeling his worth from us? Does he know that we think he's worthy? Time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. This is the only text in Scripture where God says, you know, I'm going to seek out somebody here. I am seeking men and women who will worship me from the heart. Not just an external show, but worship me from the heart. Because he says he is spirit. His worshipers must. There's no question in it. Are you the kind of worshiper that God is seeking out? What is the supreme goal of the church? Why are we here? Some people would say, well, to reach the lost. You know, as an evangelist, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I would have amened you right there. What is the supreme goal of the church? The supreme goal of the church is to become the kind of worshiper that God seeks. The supreme goal of the church is the glory of God. Yes, evangelism is important. Yes, reaching the lost. It's my passion. I love it. But what's got to come first is worship. We cannot put the Great Commission above the greatest commandment. You can't put them side by side. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's got to come first. And worship is a part of that. If glorifying God is the supreme goal, I guess the question I've been wrestling with is, am I giving God my best? Are you giving God your best? Are we giving Him? Is this assembly worthy of a king? Are we complacent? Have you ever really thought about whom you're talking to? Have you ever really considered the fact of whom we are singing to? Do you realize it? I think we all need 1 minute in the total Shekinah glory of the Lord. I think we would be just totally blown away. And there would never be another worship service where there would be any kind of complacency or thinking about the football game today. There would be total adoration for the Lord. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And I know we hear the word acceptable and we focus on the word acceptable and we think, well, it has to do with the form of worship. I have to get my form right for it to be acceptable. And we get critical of other, you know, churches that may do it a little differently. Hey, you're not doing the form right, man. When God says, no, the form is not the issue. Whether there's instruments or it's a cappella, whatever it is, it has to be from the heart. Every culture decides how they will worship the Lord, whether they dance before the Lord, whether they sing before the Lord, whether they play drums like in Africa to the Lord, or they shout like in Brazil. It has to be from the heart. And we get so caught up in the form. I have to do it correctly. No, you have to do it from the heart. That's got to come first. 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul says, in the context of worship, I want all men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. And when we see people lifting hands, we start, hey, what are they lifting hands for? Because they understand the king is in front of them. And they want to have a worship that's worthy of him. To lift hands, there's nothing wrong with lifting hands. As long as the heart of that person's right. I don't need to be focusing on other people. I need to be focusing on my Creator. We have left out emotion in worship. Love God with all of your soul. Emotion. You don't have a relationship with somebody and just, you know, just stern relationship where there's no smiling, there's no emotion. Can you imagine that? Why do we do it with God? We talked last year about the seven words in the Old Testament of worship, shouting. Shabbat, all those different words that have to do with bowing, kneeling, raising hands, all those things. God wants us to worship from our hearts. If Queen Elizabeth were to rock in this, man, you can imagine what it would be like. We would be in awe of all of her. Oh, reverence. And if the King of Kings walks in this room? Are we too ashamed to bow? Are we too ashamed to get on our knees before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Are we too proud to raise our hands or to clap? We're so worried about what everybody else thinks. The King is here. He's already here. Queen Elizabeth ain't here. The king is here. And I think in our hearts, how we worship God needs to be expressed. You want to raise your hands? No one's going to judge you here by doing that. You want to clap? Yes. No one's going to judge you here. This is a wonderful church with a lot of freedom in this church. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for our eldership that have a deep love for everyone here and understand everyone worships God differently. Man, but you get us at the football game. Man, we are going to shout, right? Get us in the stands, yeah! But when it comes to worshiping the one who has rescued me from the pits of hell, I think we need to shout from time to time. Because he is worthy of that. How would you feel if your loved one only spent time with you just to, you know, I'm here today just because, you know, I gotta be here and I gotta fulfill my duty. Okay, yeah, what's up? How you doing? Nobody likes tokenism. And when worship becomes predictable and when we just go through the motions and I check in, I check out, my faith is on autopilot, okay, I'm done, I've done my thing, I'm going to go to the steakhouse now. I don't think anybody wants to be treated like that, let alone the king. So why is worshiping God the most important thing? Preaching is temporary. Preaching is not the point of worship. My task is to point you to Jesus. My task is to help you become a better worshiper. It bothers me that in a lot of churches, people have elevated preaching above worship. That's sin. That's idolatry. Worship is always, always eternal. And it's going on right now. It's what we will do for eternity. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders representing the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 apostles, they fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne. Their crowns. Those crowns are everything that you have done for God. Since the day you were born again, since the day you were baptized into Christ, it is everything that you have done for the Lord. It is every righteous act. It is every good deed. Even if you were to give your life as a martyr for Jesus Christ, that is your crown. And they take the crowns off because they are not worthy. None of those things make us worthy. We are worthy because of the cross. We are worthy because of Jesus. You're not worthy because you dot all the I's and cross all the T's. You're not worthy because you went on that mission trip last summer. You're worthy because you are a child of the King. And the King deserves worthy worship. So therefore, we throw our crowns to the one who is worthy. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. John says, "I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed He is able. Say, He is able, church.
He is able.
Who is worthy? He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. The scrolls are simply God is in control. He has plans. He is the one who is sovereign. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God people from every tribe, language, and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, say it, church. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all in them saying, you know, I love this statement. I heard it on the radio Friday. I'm not where I want to be, but thank the Lord, I'm not where I used to be. We're all under construction, folks. And I know I have days when I'm on autopilot worship, and my heart is not in it. My prayer for us today is that we will become the kind of worshipers the Lord seeks. Passionate. That's all we want. It's more important than anything else in our lives. It consumes us. And I think we need to remind ourselves constantly, you know, I'm not where I want to be. I got a lot of growing to do in the Lord. But thank God He has brought me from where I was. Because I hope you're not the same person you were 5 years ago. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we just ask your forgiveness today. We get stuck on autopilot so much. And when I know we struggle with sin in our lives, all of us in this room. And I'm sorry, we're sorry for not ascribing to you the worth that is due your name. We're sorry that we treat worship sometimes as if we're going through the motions without the heart. We got our minds on the football game. We got our minds on lunch. We got our minds on our children. Forgive us. Lord God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will help us become the type of worshiper that you want us to be. The type that worships you wholeheartedly and is not ashamed of you. In Jesus' mighty name.